Connor.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
You have any questions tonight?
No.
Okay. We'll wait to see if a few other people come.
Okay. Malika.
Good evening. I hope you're well. Malika, do you have any questions for tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you, Hanok?
Baruch Hashem, I'm well, thank you. Do you have any questions for tonight?
None at this point, no, sir.
Okay. We're just waiting to see if anybody comes on. Any other people? Hannah's.
Hi, Malika.
Hey, how are you, Hannah?
I'm
How's
okay.
The eyes? How's your eyes doing?
Well, the left one's not doing too well, but I'll see the doctor tomorrow, so I'll see what's going on.
Did the other one clear up?
Yeah, the other one did fine. The left one just started bothering me in the corner, so I don't know what it is. Maybe a eyelash or something, because I was doing
May you have a Jewish Shlema.
Thank you.
While we're waiting, I do have an email question.
Okay.
Which I'm really not going to answer, but I'll describe what it is. The question is to expand on the discussion of the three words that I wrote about this week, Nikudim, Makudim, and Birudim. And what I wrote about is really, there's enough there to give you a sense. To go into more detail, I'm not sure we're ready for.
Was that in Sunday's email?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't done that one. Usually by now I already have it printed and I've already worked on it because of the Zadikim, but I haven't this week. I can't catch up with half of an eye, you know. But anyway. Okay, so I'll get that printed tomorrow and see what you're talking about.
But what I'm talking about is to say these three words every day for a year, because the three words, what Rabbi Ashlag reveals in the Ten Luminous Emanations, is that these are the three worlds that were created and represent the DNA of creation. This is Nikudim is the world of dots. Akadim is the world of lines rather than anything else. Extension of the dots growing into a greater vessel. and the Berudim is not really explained in the typical Kabbalistic description of creation. But Rabbi Ashlag explains that these three words that were used by Jacob in his negotiation with Laban, it essentially deals with the genetics of animals, but it also deals with the genetics of creation, the DNA of creation. So by saying these words, we're connecting to that level of consciousness, and essentially we're able to change the creation, of ourselves, so that we can move away from any chaos. So that's what I wrote about in the email and in the Parasha information online. And I really don't think it's appropriate to go into any greater detail. Even if I did understand it, which I have, don't yet. But this is part of the later chapters of Rabbi Ashlag's 10 Luminous Emanations.
Okay. Well, I worked on the Zadok King this week. I'm lacking 3, 4, and 40. And then I'll have all the information, and I was going to go to the website to see if you had those, and I just overlooked them. And then today...
Are you talking about the 72 names?
The 72 names of the Zadok King.
Okay.
Remember, I've been working on that for a long time, and I'm dependent on your Sunday emails because you were including the ones that you didn't have on the website.
Right.
And so that was what I was doing. I was about 4 weeks behind because of my eyesight, you know. And then today I was trying to review the Nice of Kislev, with it being, you know, a day of to me it's almost equivalent to the Azot Hanukkah. That's what I think of when I think of the Nice of Kislev, because of the energy for substance and for just about whatever
in the Jubilee. So that's what's being discussed. But that energy really only applies once every 50 years. And the organization that is promoting it as a charitable, make a donation and these rabbis will go pray for you on this day. They do it, they also at the ninth hour and the ninth minute, ninth second, all of that. They've done that 2 years ago, they did it. And 2 years before that, they did it. So it's really, it's true the energy is there, we don't really know when the Jubilee years are. We've lost track. And so it gives them opportunity to solicit these kinds of donations.
Well, that was
every few years.
What I found myself doing was reading about, is it Abraham Abuflafulia? I know you say it really well. Yeah, I was reading about him today, connected with that. And then the prayer in the Siddur, too, of that Elijah, what's it called? Where Elijah talks about the, not Elijah, Eliyahu. Is it Patak Eliyahu?
Patak Eliyahu, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to say every day.
Right. But I don't. But I do on the 9th of Kislev. So somehow I'm reminded about it. And it seems like that's when I do.
Understand. The same email that was asking about the Nikodim, Akodim, and Birudim also asks, what about freckles? And I don't really have a great deal of information about freckles, other than I know our skin represents the universe. Man is a microcosm. The universe is the macrocosm. So the firmament, whatever that word actually means, the firmament has stars in it, has this black backdrop, so to speak. And we know it's not really black, but and there are all these dots called stars that are within the firmament. And it applies, our skin represents a mirror image of the firmament, of the universal firmament. So as stars change, our skin changes. So we develop moles, we develop skin patches, we develop wrinkles. As we develop all of these different things, freckles is an indication of the different stars. Now, typically, freckles are red or reddish. And we know whenever you're dealing with the color red, you're dealing with the left column and the desire to receive. And that's why freckles tend to be on people with red hair, because it's an indication of their desire to receive tends to be very larger than other people who don't have freckles. So that's really all I have been, all the information I've been given on freckles.
Well, I had freckles when I was young, and I remember 5 years ago, one of our class reunions, someone came up to me and said, "I remember you with freckles."
Well, the fact that your freckles have left is an indication of you achieving greater balance. Because the freckles, there's an indication of a greater desire to receive, meaning no left column.
I remember I didn't like them.
I have
but
freckles.
I wasn't redheaded. I was blonde, so...
Hello?
Yes, Martha.
I have freckles on my eyeball. And when I go to get eye exams, they see freckles on my eyes.
On your optic nerve or on the ball itself? The pupil?
On the pupil.
On the pupil?
Mm-hmm.
What color are your eyes?
Dark brown.
And
real
the freckles?
Dark brown.
Right.
They're more
the
on a reddish.
Okay.
Yeah.
All of the, you know, the skin, there's a whole science to face reading and hand and palm reading. that's discussed in the Zohar in the Parasha of Yitro. The reason it's there is because in Yitro, makes suggestions to Moshe about appointing judges and the kinds of people that should be associated with being a judge. And, you know, he gives a certain series of qualities, God-fearing and righteous and not caring about money as a priority, you know, a lot of different character traits. And in that area, Moses was taught or knew the face reading tools on the face reading science, so he was able to choose the judges based on that. And that's why in the Zohar, that's why they discuss it. It's an extensive discussion. I think there's 12 chapters, 12 sections on it, or maybe even more.
And I have another question. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
You continue, please. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say I don't have any specific examples or information that I'd ever heard about freckles on the eyeball or in the pupil. But I vaguely remember reading about the different colors of the pupil. And a lot of times you have people with blue and green eyes that have these flecks or dots or freckles in the pupil, but I've not heard it associated with brown eyes. Did you want to ask another? Malka.
We were talking about skin earlier. I think Hannah has asked this question about Adam and being a energy source in the garden. So
yes.
Does that mean that he was just light, or did he have like a shell, like a fingernail substance or material around him?
Well, our fingernails are actually porous, and our fingernails are basically clear, hardened skin. I think it's called keratin or ceratin.
Keratin.
And yes, we are taught that prior to the sin, the skin of Adam and Eve was made of that material. It was translucent. So the light that Adam was radiating through the skin, and that's why the animals were so frightened by him, as well as the angels.
Okay.
But when he sinned, the only thing left of that level of skin is on our fingernails and toenails.
So when
and
he
that,
fell and... Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So when he fell, and was out of the garden, did he have the skin of what we have today, our human flesh? When he was placed
after,
out of the garden.
After the sin, yes, he lost the keratin and took on the skin of the animals.
Okay. So basically our skin that we have is basically like an animal skin.
Only difference is the amount of hair.
Okay.
At least that's my understanding. Anna, do you remember the spelling of the word skin? I know when it's with an I and it's one level, and with an olive it's something else, but I don't remember the other two letters.
I think it's or. It's light. Because I stumbled upon it years ago, and that's when I realized that their bodies were light. And then they changed dimensions. The garment of skin then became...
It went from an olive.
Garment.
Olive skin, man. Margaret,
went from an olive.
Went from
I think the light is with an olive, I believe, and skin is with the iron.
Correct.
I think that's the word. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Light is or spelled olive vav resh. Skin is or also, but it's iron vav resh.
Okay.
And if you remove the vav, you have the word ayin resh, which is air, which is the inverse letter spelling of the word evil, ra.
I think it's also a tree, because that was the name of our street that we lived on in Modi'in. And all the streets around us were different names of trees. It wasn't a tree that was native to Israel, though, because I remember when I looked it up. I hope I'm telling you correct, because that's been 7 years, so I could have forgotten.
I have another question.
Go ahead.
I do have another. When Esau went after Nimrod and took his, he hunted Nimrod and took his clothing.
Right.
What was this part of Adam's, I'm going to call it attire, Adam's clothing? Is that why he wanted Nimrod's clothing? Was this something from Adam that was handed down? And was this something
when God made clothing of animal skins for Adam and Eve, that clothing was supposed to have special essence and energy that would control the animals. So when Nimrod went hunting, the animals would just follow his mental orders, his psychic abilities. That's the Midrash. When Esau killed Nimrod, he took the skins, and that was the it made his hunting. He was now, when he put on those skins, he could go hunting, and everybody, it enhanced his psychic abilities of control. That's essentially what the Midrash implies and hints at.
So was this just one part of that clothing, or was
it was all of it.
Okay.
It came to Nimrod through Nimrod. Right. One of the sons of Noah.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Hanok, it's Jasmine.
How are you?
Very good. I have a question. I received an email from the Daily Soher where they're mentioning that Friday the 9th and also being the 9th month, it's a, you know, it's an opportunity for to receive light. And
we
do donations like a...
Well, go ahead and finish your question.
Oh, yeah, and if you do a donation or something on the 9th hour, that's like, you know, like it's very meaningful for us. So I don't know. I got 5 minutes late, so I don't know if you already...
We did discuss it at the beginning before you arrived.
Okay.
But essentially, the organization that is promoting that, did so 3 years ago.
And my handout was dated 2009, and it was on Nefesh.
Yeah, exactly. He's the one that sent the email.
And then he sent another one out this week, and that's what reminded me. And when I went to find the folder, I saw that I had
That's what I got.
Patak Eliyahu there, and I had some stories about Avraham Abufulia. And I never say it correctly because I'm, you know, I skimmed. And I guess I need to read more thoroughly, but we've been shopping for wedding clothes for our grandson's wedding, so I had to do things in between.
The email you got this week from Zion Nefesh, who is the author of the Daily Zohar, or the revealer of the Daily Zohar, he was not the first one to send it out a few years ago, but I believe it was 3 years ago. And also again in 2009, which is, you know, it's been like three or four times in the last 10 years. There is an organization that promotes this, and I can't attribute Zion Nefesh's motives to it. I don't know what his motives are. If he's not aware that they've sent it out before, he's forgotten. Or what is the reason for doing so. But it's not something that I promote that you need to make an additional donation to receive greater light. Every time you make a donation, you receive light. What this organization promotes is make a donation to us, and you know, we're going to go pray at certain tzaddikim, and so forth. The idea of the ninth day of the ninth month at the ninth hour, at the ninth minute, all of these nines represent Yesod.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's really only effective in the Jubilee year, once every 50 years. But we, in our lack of merit, have lost the knowledge of when is the Jubilee year. And so this organization repeats this every few years, that saying this might be a Jubilee year. But they said that it definitely was the Jubilee year 3 or 4 years ago. So I'm not recommending, other than if you feel like making an extra donation, please feel free to do so. But it's not something that I understand it from the Kabbalah. It's only once every 50 years.
No.
I saw it as almost another opportunity of the third meal of Shabbat, because your meditations and your consciousness was to me preparing a vessel to pray for others from not necessarily, not yourself, but global and I mean, it was almost as wide as you could cover an expanse for. And I was thinking today, you know, of those things, what would I want to ask for that would be global? And what would I want to ask for that would be, you know, just a lot of ideas came to mind of serious things just in our world. And, you know, so that it made me think of the third world. It's about when we have that time of favor. That's kind of what I looked at. To tell you the truth, I didn't click on the link that said Zadonka because I always feel like there are a lot of places to place Zadonka, and I never have. You know, it's almost there's a need every minute for someone who either sends you something in the mail or who is, you know, requested, or you know someone who needs it, or you feel that, oh gosh, you've been maybe getting materials from some certain person and you haven't, you know, sent the back in a long time, you know. So those are the kinds of things. So I didn't click on that. So that's probably why I don't, you know. An organization dealing with the DACA, it didn't mean anything to me. I took it more from the standpoint of seeing it as you sowed, as you sowed. And I mean, Kislev is full of energy anyway.
You have to realize that the time of goodwill on Shabbat is an opening of all the gates. And once every 50 years, on the year of the Jubilee, on the ninth month, Kislev, the ninth hour, the ninth day, all of those nines is a time of goodwill. It just only repeats it once every 50 years, and we don't know when that is. Whereas on Shabbat, we know the afternoon, the third meal of Shabbat, is that time of goodwill.
By the way, what is the exact time for the third meal in Shabbat?
So that you finish before sundown. Excuse me, my mistake. So you start before sunset.
So we're supposed to have the meal before sunset.
No, you're supposed to start the meal before sunset.
Yeah, what that's what we've been doing, you know, before Abdallah.
No, Abdallah is after Arvit, after the evening prayer. So you finish your third meal, and then you go pray for the third, for Arvit, and then you do Abdallah.
Oh.
Okay. For years, I've done it an hour before sunset.
Except in the winter, you know, you have second meal at 1 o'clock, and an hour before sunset at 3. So, and you, where do you have time for your nap?
Here it's 4. We're getting dark now at like 5:10. It's dark.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
You know, so.
But yeah, an hour before sunset is probably a good time, except in the winter, the days get especially short.
All right. Well, here in Florida, it doesn't get that dark that early.
All right. Oh. Are there any other questions? Everybody have a beautiful evening. Shalom.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Hello.
Shalom. Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.